And we're turning again to the last chapter of 1 Peter. And you've probably guessed what verse we're going to be looking at tonight, because every hymn, apart from the doxology, has this phrase, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In the original, verses 6 and 7, it's verse 7 which we're going to be considering, but verses 6 and 7 is one sentence. I think the New King James brings that out, but some translations don't. So last Sunday we looked at not exalting ourselves, God resists the proud, but humbling ourselves. God gives us grace. And as we humble ourselves, what do? We cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. And Peter there is quoting from the 55th Psalm, the Psalm that we read from, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. So you need to have a finger on that verse in Psalm 55, and we'll be looking at verse 7 of 1 Peter 5 as well. So the first thing I want to talk about, and I think I'm referring to every one of us here, is the burden. Cast your care. This burden, this weight that we have come in here with this evening. We never get to sing this at Christmas. It came upon a midnight clear, because it never says what came. There's no clear definition of the Christmas message in it. But there are some lines that I do like, and it says this, and he, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Is that you? You're carrying such burdens, it's causing you to be bent double. And instead of running the Christian race, you are just walking slowly. A burden. We've all got our burden. A burden of anxiety. The word for anxiety here is a very interesting one. It means being pulled apart by different cares. In the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus Christ gives his famous words about in nothing be anxious, before that, he talks about having a single eye. And what that means is that we have one focus. And the problem when we carry these burdens of anxieties is instead of having one focus, which is living for Christ, we are being pulled from every direction with all kinds of burdens. So to give a little example, I'm preaching on casting our cares on the Lord, and I'm worried about my suit and getting this cream which I've got on my hand onto my lovely suit. So that is pulling me in one direction. And we've all come in here tonight with different burdens. Can I just go through a few? What's your burden, I wonder? Is it a chronic illness? How frustrating it is to have something that's never going to go away. I'm thinking of somebody with arthritic pains. And you know that's going to get worse with the years. I know there are medical treatments that help today, but isn't that a burden? To have to lie down at night and not be able to sleep properly because of constant pain. What a burden. As somebody said to me this morning, old age doesn't come alone, does it? It's a burden. What's another burden? What have I got here? The sorrows of the mind. Has anybody here got that? This horrible depression. And you can't help it. It's like a cloud suddenly descending upon you. And you want to paint everything black. So even though the sun might be shining outside, and even though people might be smiling at you, you don't see that. You see it through the filter of depression. What a burden. Money worries. Why have I put that down as a burden? That's the kind of burden that keeps you up at night because you're doing the sums. Have you been there? trying to make it all work out, and it doesn't. Money worries. Horrible. In the psalm that was read, do you know what was David's particular burden? Absalom, his son, had taken over in a coup d'etat the throne of Israel. And David's closest advisor, Ahithophel, had betrayed him and gone over to Absalom. And David said, didn't he, very poignantly in the psalm, it wasn't an enemy that did this to me. It was you, a man, my equal, my companion and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Isn't it horrible to be isolated? We expect isolation in the world because we don't belong to it. But when it happens among brothers and sisters in Christ, it's one of the worst burdens, I think, that God can inflict upon us. I admire you in this church who had to suffer that before I came. I think it's one of the worst things. And you know that patronizing look that you get from people who've isolated themselves from you. They look at you as if they're feeling sorry for you. You see, in the world, you would get it out with a person, wouldn't you? That, oh, we don't do that. Isolation. Another burden, fear. There's a phrase, fear of the future. Are you afraid of the future? I think there's a depression amongst us as a country, isn't there? Brexit. What's going to happen to this country? Or maybe as you're getting older and those around you are dying, you're afraid, illnesses and ultimately death itself. That's another burden. I don't want to depress us tonight. I'm just going through various things that we may have come in here carrying. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have these things. This is part of living on planet Earth. I don't know if you are living on another planet. When I was saved, I thought some Christians lived on another planet called revival and that they didn't have any problems. And then I discovered when God does revive his church, it creates even more problems. So we're all burdened. I've got one more burden, and maybe this is the worst. Spiritual doubts. Why am I saying this is the worst? The problem with this is it's your salvation that's at stake. With all the other problems, you can still say, but my salvation is secure. But when you have doubts, you're questioning even your eternal security. Burdens. So that's my first point. I really don't want to stay on that for obvious reasons. So what does Peter and what does David in the psalm say to us? If we've got these burdens, what are we to do with them? Let me give you some negative, what we don't do. Do you know what you don't do with these burdens? You don't complain. Now, I'm the first one to break that rule. Do you know what happens when you complain? You drag yourself down, and the poor people that have to listen to your complaints, they are being dragged down as well. And so you have negativity all around. It just doesn't help. It doesn't take the burden away, and it actually puts you in a worse position than before. So it's not worth complaining. Do you know Cooper in his hymn? Have we no words? Do you know that? Ah, think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with a sad tale of all your care. What did David want to do in the psalm? Another famous verse in Psalm 55. I know it best in the Authorized Version. Oh, for the wings of a dove. Far, far away would I go and be forever at rest. Is there somebody here tonight who's tempted to do that? You've got your problems and you want to fly away from them. But my friend, the problem is when you do that, you're still taking your burden with you, because the burden is really our attitude to our problems. Oh, how often I've come across Christians who've thought if they change job, Sometimes it's right to change job, but the mindset that as long as I change my job, everything will be all right is pure fantasy. You still take yourself with you to the new job, and you'll have new problems then, or change a place of living, or giving up. What did Jesus say? He that endures to the end shall be saved. We're in a marathon, maybe an ultra distance race, a double, triple marathon. You know, many of you here tonight, you're not far from the end now. What's the point of giving up at this point? You've already done most of the race. Isn't now the time to keep on going? Isn't now the time to be stronger than ever? Even if our bodies are not what they once were, in our spirits we can be more fervent than we were many years ago. To end well, don't you want that? So what are we to do with our burdens? Those are some negative things. Positively, what are we to do with them? Well, the psalmist and Peter says, cast your burden. What does this mean? Well, I think the first thing it means is this. We've got to be humble enough to admit that we can't deal with the situation. Isn't that what it means? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him. So as part of humbling myself, I recognize that God is in complete control of what is happening to me. And I recognize that I can't deal with the situation and that I need help. And isn't that often our problem? We're too proud to admit that we're in need of the Lord's help. I remember being told about Mr. Hyam. Somebody in this church was having a problem, and they went to see Mr. Hyam. And do you know what he said to them? Very wise words. Have you told the Lord about it? Tell God. Listen to Cooper again. Have we no words? Ah, think again, words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with a sad tale of all your woe. Were half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, our cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. Have you told God about your problem? You know, you can tell him anything. What I love about the Psalms is how the psalmist bears his soul before the Lord. We can't do that with one another. It would be unwise to do it. But you can do it with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And then there is something else. We don't just humble ourselves and admit that we need the Lord's help and tell him. We have to cast our burden. Now, this is an interesting word. It's to throw. You know, when the fisherman casts his rod, it's like a throwing action. I once tried doing it. Albert showed me how to do it on boys' camp, and it was a disaster. I just couldn't do that, take it far enough. But cast, throw it. The same word is used only in one other place in the New Testament, the Greek word for cast, when the disciples were sent by Jesus to choose the donkey that he was to ride on into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They cast their clothes on the donkey. Now, this is what we've got to do with our burdens. We need to take them off ourselves. Oh, don't carry them any longer. Cast them on Jesus Christ. Let him do the donkey work for you. You know, I've been so privileged since being in this church to visit most of our missionaries. One of the few places I haven't visited is Haiti. And we got the Jovans in Haiti. We all know the Jovans saying, God is good. So in Haiti, one of their burdens, or they used to have this burden, they couldn't drive from church straight home in case they were arrested. So they would have to drive past their home first and check that there was no one outside. Now, we haven't got that burden, have we? And the Jovans would still say, God is good. Now, I've discovered that the mountain people of Haiti have a saying. This is what they say. I don't know what language they speak, but I've got it in English. This is their saying. It's a prayer they used, the hill people of Haiti. Oh, Omri Jenkins, I think, went to the hills of Haiti on his missionary visits. This is what they said. Lord, don't let us put our load of trouble in a basket on our head. Because people in Haiti, you'd seen the women carrying their baskets on their head. Well, this is the prayer. Lord, don't let us put our load of trouble in a basket on our head. Help us to put them on Jesus' head. And you know what they went on to say? Then we won't have any headaches. Don't we have heartaches? Because we're trying to carry our burdens. Because we think we are self-sufficient. We're not. Let Jesus carry them. Do you know what I like? Stop worrying. I'm preaching to myself here first. Stop worrying. Let Jesus do the worrying for you. Isn't that hard, though? Let the Lord do the worrying. I don't know who wrote these words. I came across it in one of Spurgeon's sermons. And it's amazing. The person who wrote it says, I have no cares. Wouldn't you like to be like that? To say, I have no burdens. I have no worries. Oh, blessed Lord, for all my cares are thine. That's what you do. I live in triumph too, for thou hast made thy triumph mine. Cast, throw all your burdens on the Lord. I've been helped by this little commentary on 1 Peter, some excellent examples here. I came across this example, a businessman who was plagued with worries. Businessmen can get very stressed, can't they? He tried all sorts of things, but couldn't stop worrying. So in the end, he had an advert offering a good salary to someone whose job it would be to do the worrying for him. Wouldn't you like to be that rich? So he interviewed a number of candidates until he was convinced that he'd found his man. As they shook hands to confirm the appointment, the new employee said that he'd just one question. How on earth are you going to afford my salary? And he said, the businessman, that's now your concern, not mine. Have you got questions? How on earth am I going to face this situation? How on earth is this going to go about? Don't worry. Let him do the worrying for you. You know, there's a saying, it's in one of Daniel Owen's books, Rhys Lewis, the Welsh Charles Dickens Daniel Owen, and he had a character in that novel, Mary Lewis, a very godly woman, and she had this saying, be faithful, only be faithful, and leave the rest with the Lord. I like that. Only be faithful and leave the rest with the Lord. So we've all got a burden. We don't carry it. We throw it on Jesus Christ. And then there's a lovely promise, for he cares for you. And in the psalm, it's slightly different, isn't it? And he will sustain you. Now, what is this? You've got to see the big picture. You know, God, as a wise father, allows different burdens to come upon us. If you want to do weight training, if you want your body to develop muscles, you've got to do resistance training. So you've got to have something, some weight that you're against. And isn't that the same? If we want to build spiritual muscles, if you want your faith to become stronger, then there's no point having an easy time in this world. You're not going to develop your spiritual muscles in that sense. You've got to have resistance training, and that's why God allows these burdens to come upon us. So seeing that, and there's something else as well, isn't there? It's not letting go of the burden. There's a saying, let go and let God. Well, this is throwing our burdens on the Lord. I think that's more active than letting go. If you let go of something, you're not thinking. But if you're casting something on the Lord, you are active. And how did it put it in that last hymn we sang before the sermon? Bringing all my burdens, sorrows, sins and care, at thy feet I lay them. And isn't this the hardest part? And I leave them there. Don't take them up again after laying them on the Lord's feet. Leave them with him. And then there's this promise. He'll sustain you. He'll sustain you. You know, forgive me for using another guitar illustration. I've got to use illustrations from daily life. When you're playing an electric guitar, you're trying to get the notes to sustain. What does sustain mean? Sustain means lasting, long-lasting. So how can I be sustained? If I've got these problems, my worry is I'm not going to be sustained. I'm going to fail. So if you've got an electric guitar, you want the notes to sustain. So you have an amplifier, and you've got your guitar, and there's a sweet spot where you can stand, and you have to have the right distance between the guitar and the amplifier, and the amplifier's got to be full on. And once you hit a note, this is true now, because of the dynamics, that note is sustained indefinitely. So you don't have to do anything else. My friends, there's a sweet spot in our relationship with the Lord where we cast our cares on him and he sustains us. I think the hymn we're going to finish on puts it well. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. Where's that sweet spot, Pastor? This is it. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, and we admit it. Isn't that the sweet spot? I think we found the sweet spot in the second hymn. Nothing I bring. My Christianity is one thing. I'm not distracted with other things. I'm not distracted with moral issues even. I'm one focus. Jesus Christ. Isn't that the sweet spot? Jesus Christ. The hymn I quoted from Spurgeon's sermon, I have no cares, O blessed Lord. There's another line which says, and when it seems no chance nor change from grief can set me free. In other words, when I'm in a situation and I can't do anything to get myself out of it, hope finds its strength in helplessness and patience waits on thee. Isn't that the sweet spot? Hope finds its strength in helplessness. May we all find that sweet spot where we basically say, Lord, I can do it. And I'm going to completely throw myself on you. And you know what? You will be sustained. You may not feel it, but you will go on. Even if thousands around you fall, as the psalmist says, you will still be standing because it will be the Lord that will be sustaining you. May God help us, from myself to each one of you, to put this into practice, because we're not very good at it, to cast our burdens. I don't want us leaving this building tonight still carrying those loads, but together to cast them upon our Saviour and to know, when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's the signal for me to finish, for his name's sake.